Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is candidate for state representative of the 110th District, Greg Markkinen. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Had a chance to talk to you back in the primary season. It was kind of a, you know, get to know you time because we hadn't had a chance to sit and talk. Of course, you're on the Hancock City Council, at least up until Election Day this year, since they can continue to do that and run for this particular office. That was a big change. Why did you want to make the go from city government to state government?
Well, I feel it's my civic duty to put my name forward and try to represent the 110th District as a Republican. There's a real difference in philosophy between myself and my opponent. Of course, the Republicans have been in the majority here in the state since 2012, and there's been a lot of changes, and I feel that, you know, I have a lot of good ideas I can share with the House and also do a fine job representing the constituents of the 110th District.
So you would characterize the changes of the last 4 years that you mentioned as positive?
Yes, they are positive. The state of Michigan is slowly getting out of debt. Education funding is going up, and yet we still have some work to do there. Of course, the gas tax is going to go up this next year, but that's going to generate some revenue to help improve our infrastructure. And, you know, there's a lot of other positive things that are moving forward in Lansing as well.
Now, you're a teacher at Berrega High School, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so let's start in education. What are some of the things you're seeing?
Well, you know, there was a study done this summer in June that really highlighted some of the key issues in education in the state. Michigan currently is in going through a teacher shortage across the state in some key areas, special education, the sciences, math, but the other areas are hurting as well. And we have to reverse that. Also, the study talked about the disparity in school funding. There's school districts downstate that are receiving thousands of dollars more per student than the students in the 110th district. And this is having a real adverse effect with our school districts across the Western UP. We're receiving, I think, $7,500 per student. And we have snowplow issues coming up this winter, busing issues. And there's a lot of school districts that are struggling with very, very tight budgets. The study brought out the fact that some of the disparity is upwards of over $1,000 per student or more. And some districts downstate are receiving, you know, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a student, and it's just not equitable. Michigan students should receive the same state funding across the state. There was also a study done later on in the summer about teacher morale. Teacher morale across the state is really struggling as teachers more and more is demanded of teachers accountability. The evaluations, and teachers are wearing quite a few hats now, social workers, counselors, and teachers are struggling with time, and the Republicans are coming forward with a couple bills to try to improve that morale. We also have to work on the teacher shortage that is being created. Michigan used to export teachers, and now we're struggling to bring in teachers. I know many school districts are struggling with openings in special education and the math and science areas, and fewer students are going into education. And we need to reverse that, and we need to build teacher morale. We need teachers that don't have to struggle with finances, school administrators as well, and, of course, school boards. This tight budget, I think, is hurting education across the 110th district and throughout Michigan. So we need to work on that to reverse that and get on a positive trend.
Well, then I have to go back to 2012 because a lot of those budget cuts were made by the Republican legislature. You're right, it's starting to increase, but we're not back to where we were. How far do we need to go with it?
Well, as a majority party, are working very hard to pay off the state debt, and that's looking very positive. School funding is going up, but it has a long way to go. We need more revenue sharing throughout the communities. The state needs to step up through the House and Senate to, you know, start giving communities a little bit more of their share of the state revenue money. And I think as the economy continues to improve, I believe school funding should follow right along with that.
You were talking about teacher shortage, and recently I had read about in our rural area here, it hits us especially hard because it's harder to get teachers to move here, especially mm-hmm. if you're looking at part-time or if you're looking at substitute teachers. Just getting those educators to come here and take a job here, there's not as many people to draw from.
Yeah, it's a real struggle, Rick. A lot of school districts have to go to emergency certifications to bring in long-term substitutes for critical areas like special education and the sciences and math. And this is really hurting us in the 110th district. I know there's quite a few school districts in the Western UP that still have openings in special education, and there's just not students or teachers to fill them. And this is affecting education from Ironwood all throughout the 110th district, and it has to change.
Now, the 110th district, of course, covers Houghton, Keweenaw, Baraga, Ontonagon, and also Iron and Gogebic and parts of western Marquette County. So I want to ask, we're familiar with the schools in our backyard, per se, here in our listening area. What do you see as the challenges for those outlying schools in the, like, Gogebic and Iron County that, you know, maybe don't have all the advantages we have here in Houghton?
Well, that's a real struggle. I know the outlying areas like Ewing Trail Creek and that, they struggle to bring in teachers in the special ed area. Ironwood, the economy there is, I think it's slowly, improving somewhat. The economy is getting better. I think they benefit from being a border town. Some of the rural districts, as I mentioned, Ewing Trail Creek, Ontonagon, maybe Bessemer, Wakefield area. It's very difficult to get a teachers in and keep them here. And I think we really need to work on the economy. We need to get some equity, get that equity back into school funding. So a teaching profession, teaching career looks more attractive to people and to, you know, work up here in the Western UP, which is, I consider, the most beautiful part of the UP itself.
Well, let's go ahead and transition into the economy since, you know, everybody's looking for that magic formula to be able to bring back jobs to this area to increase our industry. You know, some of the industry in the past may not come back. It's certainly not going to come back to the level that it was. What do you see our opportunities?
Well, I think the real shining star is our smart zone here in Houghton Hancock. We're in a partnership with Marquette. The smart zone here is generating a lot of high-tech jobs. I know there was a survey done with Michigan Tech students, and the majority of the students surveyed stated that they would stay in the area if there was opportunities. The smart zone is creating those opportunities, and those opportunities need to spill over to Ironwood area. The economy there, there's some small industries there like Stormy Cromer. There's some other opportunities. And then we have the mining industry like Highland Copper and Ontonagon and Gogebic County. If the price of copper goes up, minerals, I think looking at the Eagle Mine venture, we can tap into our natural resources and still protect our environment and benefit economically from these industries, still preserve our environment and offer opportunities for people to move into the area.
What about other opportunities? Like, I'll just throw out logging, just because I had seen a stat about 6 months ago that ranked Michigan sort of in the middle of the pack when it comes to that industry, and yet it seems like we ought to be one of the leaders where we're located. We got a lot of trees.
We do, and I think throughout the Western UP, we need to work on the National Forest Service to open up some of those areas for logging. The State House and Senate needs to continue to support the logging industry. We need to open up, maybe get the Forest Service to transfer some of that land to the state. The state needs to move it to the county. We need to keep our logging industry strong. There's quite a few different industries that could spin off from there. Furniture. We have some specialty wood industry or specialty wood companies that send wood all over the world. So we have the natural resources to keep that industry strong. We just need to give those jobbers and those contractors the opportunity to tap into those resources.
our greatest resource is arguably the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. How can we use our proximity to Lake Superior and the rest of the Great Lakes here to that advantage in order to increase our economy?
It's my belief that the Pure Michigan program is bringing in a lot of tourism. Lake Superior, of course, you have the North Shore of Minnesota and North Shore of Wisconsin. But there's nothing like the Western UP, the Keweenaw, the Copper Country, and the Ironwood area. We benefit from having Iroquois National Park and Copper Harbor, and that draws an incredible amount of tourism. We're coming up on the winter season now, and the Pure Michigan really focuses on bringing people up here for the skiing, for the cross-country and downhill. We have places like Mount Bohemia and all the cross-country skiing opportunities with Detect Trails, with all the different tournaments and ski championships that are here. A lot of people don't realize, but it brings in people. You go up to Mount Bohemia on any given weekend, there's people from Chicago, people from Milwaukee, people from Wisconsin and Minnesota. These people spend money. They spend money on lodging, on food, and it's making an impact. The National Park, of course, in the summertime, the Pure Michigan program is really pulling in the tourism, and this is a good thing. It benefits everybody, and it also exposes the area to a lot of people who are return customers. They come back, and you know, as a state representative for the 110th District, I'll continue to promote that.
We had a story recently where a national publication ranked the Michigan's Upper Peninsula in the top 10 best value places to visit in the world, and the only place in the United States to make that top 10. And I just kind of had to laugh as we were being compared with Venice and Belize as far as, you know, places to take a vacation. Well, you know, if we're getting that kind of recognition, this, you know, you want to capitalize on it.
Oh, exactly, Rick. It's just a golden opportunity. And, you know, as the economy improves across Wisconsin, people come back up, come here and visit for the first time. They run into friendly people, friendly businesses, beautiful natural environment. And quite a few of these people realize, hey, this might be a place that I might want to relocate in, to work in. And that opens up more and more opportunities for the smart zone industries. This is an affordable regional destination for vacationers. It has been for a long time. It's been recognized since the 30s and 40s. And I think it's just due now, being rated so high among world destinations.
Well, the voters do send you to Lansing. I would encourage you to talk to the Pure Michigan people and remind them of the Keweenaw, because a lot of that advertising dollar seems to go more towards Pictured Rocks, Mackinac Island, Sault Ste. Marie. And mm-hmm. There's a lot up here, and I think they can do us a world of good by, you know, highlighting some of the features here just in the Keweenaw.
Oh, absolutely. I watched them film an episode up at Mount Bohemia, and they need a constant reminder, and I intend to be that loud voice in Lansing.
Winter's coming, and energy is always on our mind, never more so perhaps than in winter. And there's been a number of things that are causing people to be concerned with changes to how we're going to get our electricity. There's been some stories that people say are a bit overblown, that because of changes made in the way electricity is going to be moved into the Upper Peninsula, that it isolates the Keweenaw a little bit. The closing of the White Pine Electric Power Plant could contribute to not having a backup system in case we have a catastrophic power failure like in 2003. First, let me just start with that. Are you familiar with those changes and how they may affect the Keweenaw?
I am familiar with those changes, and I know the governor's office has been really working hard to come up with solutions. I think it comes down to the fact that we've been relying on one source for such a long time that we become dependent on it. The White Pine operation was supposed to go until 2020, and all of a sudden they get a 90-day notice. This puts the whole Western UP in jeopardy of, like you said, a power shortage. We need to come up with alternatives. We need to come up with competition. If we need to draw power from Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, we just need competition in that market. We also, this can't be just short-term fix. It needs to be a long-term. Take, for example, Marquette. While they raise their rates, they're looking towards the future, bringing in high-tech technology to generate their power, and they're looking not only short-term, but long-term as well. There's been a lot of advances in technology. I think the Western UP needs to start generating, and the whole UP as a whole needs to start generating or look at generating their own power and quit being dependent on companies outside of the UP. We pay astronomical rates, and I understand everyone's pain in that. I'm a consumer as well. I know there's quite a few grassroots efforts going on throughout the Keweenaw and the Western UP and on social media, and I support those efforts. I've been in contact with some of the people, and I've expressed my concern. It's not an easy solution, I know that, and it's going to take a lot of work at the grassroots effort, and I know there's probably going to take some legislative action as well. We not only need a short-term solution, but we need a long-term solution as well.
Well, the Upper Peninsula has two new power-generating plants coming in 2020. One of them is supposed to be in your district, from what we're hearing, and so that will definitely be a huge help. Should the state consider investing in alternative energies here in expanding that availability with wind, solar, and biomass?
Well, I think we need to. These new technologies are coming on board, and the technologies are getting better and better every day. There's a lot of people thinking about going off the grid. There's a lot of people using solar and wind, and the opportunity to sell power back needs to be there as well. I think it's EPCO that has a 10% limit to buying power back. If these people are going off the grid generating solar and wind power, they need to have an avenue to where they can sell their excess power back. Right now, they're very limited. I believe the 10% is used up already. I'd like to see that level much higher for people that are generating their own electricity. It just, people need that opportunity. They need that revenue source if it's available to them.
Let's switch gears again here. The legislative body is on break right now. They'll be going back here in November. One of the issues that they're going to be tackling is picking up the dark store legislation where it left off. As a local legislator, have you seen this affect our area?
Well, I don't think it's affected us like Ironwood and Marquette and some of the and the lower UP and downstate, but there is legislation introduced by Senator Casperson in the Senate, and there's legislation introduced by Representative Kivala in the House, and hopefully that it moves along here during the lame duck session in the House and Senate. The deed restrictions, that option needs to be changed. Legislation across the board, it comes down to fair and equitable taxation. The communities across the UP, including the 110th District, can't afford to lose any revenue in communities like this, and businesses need to be sent that message. We need fair and equitable taxation, and if you're coming into a community, you need to pay your fair share.
I'm told the flip side of this is that the companies want this because it's an incentive to open up in areas where they might close down. Also, it can help keep a store operating longer than, you know, perhaps would be able to if it was paying its full tax share. Do you see a possibility of losing stores if it goes through?
Well, that's always a possibility. Last month, I was at the Michigan Municipal League Convention on Mackinac Island, and they had an economist talk about investing in local businesses. Oftentimes, you get a better result for your money by investing in local entrepreneurs, local businesses that are invested in the community, that are hiring local people at livable wages rather than minimum wage. We have a Walmart in Ironwood. We have a Walmart here. I don't see the big stores, a need for many more big stores, but I see the opportunity for an incredible growth in local businesses in many small communities like Ontonagon, Ewing Trout Creek, Bessemer Wakefield, and throughout in Berga and Lawrence area. We see it in many, many different areas. And I'd like to see the state, as a legislator, I would support promoting local businesses, local entrepreneurs to start businesses, hire local people, and make an economic impact in their community.
Yeah, I was about to say that's the comeback to the argument I just presented is, well, a lot of people will say they'll give up the big store in exchange for six locally owned businesses on Main Street.
You know? Absolutely, absolutely. And these people have an investment in local community. They're hiring local people, hopefully at a livable wage. And it just turns the community around. It's a much better investment long term. And it just reflects on our whole character here in the Western UP.
All signs are pointing to one of the largest voter turnouts we're going to see in recent memory, for sure. Talk about, you know, the importance of people just getting out and participating, even if certain elections leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, I do. I think it's going to be an incredible election year. I have the extreme pleasure of talking with students, teaching students every day, and I think the whole Berga High School would get out and vote if they could. I really stress the importance of civic engagement, the importance of voting, the importance of not copying an attitude and saying my vote doesn't count, because it does count. And during this election year, no matter which way you're looking, it's going to be one of those critical turning points in American history. I think it's going to reach all-time highs. It's going to make history, and people need to get out and vote. They need to make an informed decision, and they need to send a message not only to Washington, but to Lansing as well.
For our last couple of minutes here, I wanted to just kind of bring things down to kind of a personal level, since last time we talked, it was, you know, you had not run for a major office like this, right, and now you've been campaigning for a few months. What's the experience been like?
Oh, it's been an incredible experience, Rich. I've talked with a lot of people. I've sat in front of a lot of people and answered questions. I've talked with people. I've shaken a lot of hands, and it's been an incredible learning experience. I don't want to use that too often, but there's a lot of needs, there's a lot of issues, there's a lot of concerns in almost every community that I visited. I wish I would have had more time. I can't say enough about the experience of getting engaged in a civic activity like running for office, whether it's at the city or village level, township or county, or at the state level. It's hard to put into words. It's something that I share with my students every day, and I get asked that question, you know, what's it like to step up to the plate and run for office? And it's also very rewarding across the board. I would certainly do it again if I have that opportunity.
If you're elected, you're no longer a teacher at Berga High School. Have you given that thought?
I have given that thought. That's kind of one of those stepping stones in my life, a political career. I've talked with my principal about it. I've talked with other teachers about it. And I feel very, very strongly about representing teachers across the 110th District. I've worked as a teacher now for the better part of 26 years, both at the community college level, at the elementary, middle school, high school level, and I want to be their voice in Lansing. I understand what they're going through. I also understand what the families and students are going through in the Western UP, and I feel there's a need for some change, a need for someone to listen to them, and to bring those ideas to Lansing and make changes.
Are you going to miss being on the local city council?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Hancock City Council, Houghton City Council, is just, they're dynamic groups. There's people that step forward and make the sacrifice of time and energy to represent these two wonderful communities. Not only these two communities, Houghton, Hancock, but throughout the Western UP. It's we still need people to step up in some of the areas and townships and that, but I have a strong faith that they will. People always step up. They realize the importance of making that I don't want to call it a sacrifice, but let's call it an investment in their community, representing constituents, making improvements, trying to make things better for their children.
The election is only in a couple of days since this air, when this airs, and somebody has a last-minute question for you, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, I have a Facebook page, Committee to Elect Gregory Markkanen. I also have an email address, markkanen2016@gmail.com. Please give me send me an email, contact my Facebook page. I'd be happy to talk with you. I'd be happy to speak with any group here at the last minute. Very thankful, very blessed to have this opportunity, and please get out and vote. I'd like to be your voice in Lansing.
Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.